Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for Friday, the 12th of August, 2022. I'm joined by Connor.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about how the FBI appeared to be inciting civil strife, Twitter's pre-crime division, and how Albanian TikTokers are facilitating the invasion of the UK. But before we begin, after this podcast at 3:30 this afternoon, I will be doing a hangout on lotuseaters.com called Cultural Colonization, where I'll be talking about the colonization of our traditional culture. I think that'll be quite an interesting one, so do come and join me for that. It'll just be me talking about things that piss me off, frankly.
Just like the old days.
Just like the old days, yeah. Well, a lot of people have been asking for it, you see. Mm. So I was like, okay, fine. You know, there's a lot of stuff on my mind. I can just sit here for an hour and tell you why I think everything is terrible. But until then, let's begin.
So tensions have escalated in the standoff between the Orange Man and the Alphabet agencies, the FBI and the DOJ. President Trump suggests the FBI may have even planted evidence during the raid of Mar-a-Lago on Monday, and then to try and attempt to bar him from running a second term to secure an indictment, with each side ossifying. The risk of violence is now spilling into the streets. So let's check in the state of the Banana Republic across the pond, shall we? But before we do, something else adding to the Banana Republic nature. It's your hangout with Josh from yes. Yesterday afternoon. It's the despicable debauched degeneracy of Hunter Biden. Poor Josh had to trawl through the iCloud leaks, the laptop, etc. So please reward his endeavor with learning about it yourself and learning exactly why the election was fortified for President Biden. Would hate to see the skeletons in his closet.
He did do a really good job with this. And I have to say, one thing that I find that maybe the Orange Man missed a trick on is when he was saying they broke into my safe. Well, really, what you should have had in your safe is all the Hunter Biden details.
Yes, ready and going for them. Mm. Yeah, would have been a shame.
Yeah, but anyway.
That's all right. So I'm just going to speak to our podcast with Calvin Robinson on Wednesday, which was incredible. But the reason is, I'll just give you a brief overview of what we covered then when the initial raid had happened, when the FBI crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. Oh, yes. Go and check that out for the sources. Of course, it's linked in the description. A brief overview. The IRS will now be handing over Donald Trump's tax returns to a Democrat congressional committee. The FBI seized a Pennsylvania congressman and his staff's personal cell phones. The judge who signed the warrant for the FBI raid switched from the prosecuting to the defending teams in the Epstein case and continued to run interference on Newsmax interviews for Epstein's child trafficking. Of course, didn't traffic children to anyone, according to the Ghislaine Maxwell ruling.
That's very strange.
Because they haven't gone after the people in the black book. And also the FBI's long list of partisanship, everyone from Hunter Biden to Hillary Clinton et al. So if we go on to the next one, the FBI reportedly searched Melania Trump's wardrobe and spent hours in Trump's private office.
A lot of time in her underwear drawer.
Well, I was going to say, probably they're procuring more underwear for J. Edgar Hoover's corpse to wear. So apparently the FBI agent scoured Melania Trump's wardrobe and spent several hours combing through Donald Trump's private office, breaking open his safe and rifling through drawers when they raided the former First family's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida Monday morning. The Post has learned that the search warrant used by the FBI to enter the palatial Palm Beach property focused solely on presidential records and evidence of classified information being stored there. So the question is, why were they looking in the wardrobes?
Mm.
Clearly seems to be a sort of breach of conduct. A source close to the former president expressed concern that the FBI agents or DOJ lawyers conducting the search could have planted stuff, that's a quote, because they would not allow Trump's attorneys inside the 128-room building to observe the operation, which lasted more than 9 hours. And according to Eric Trump's tweets, which were in the coverage on Wednesday, they had to stand in the corner, face the wall, and they asked to turn the security cameras off.
Right, okay.
So this doesn't smack of transparency.
No, I mean, as soon as someone tries to stifle transparency like that, I just instantly think, right, you're trying to do something wrong.
Yeah, I smell a rat.
Yeah.
This also isn't the first time that they've raided Trump's office. In May, so there's an FBI official, granted access to Mar-a-Lago's windowless storage room, which they spent several hours searching through the boxes. Trump stopped by the basement to say hello at one point, says someone who was at the event.
Right.
So if we look at the next one, this room in question, Trump is now accusing them of ripping the padlock off the door that they asked him to put there on the basement records room.
Right, because that's where he was keeping the 15 boxes of records he'd taken there.
Exactly. Right. And of course, these records, whether or not they were classified, the president has the power to hold and also then declassify information.
He is so, the president.
Yeah,
who could be appealed to above him?
One would assume he is rightfully holding these things, and the FBI knew he was rightfully holding these things because they said, put a padlock on it just in case. And this was actually revealed, and this isn't in the links, it will be in the show notes, but this was actually revealed on Steven Crowder's interview with Rudy Giuliani on the day. Right. So Crowder's getting all these exclusives where first Giuliani held up the laptop on screen when they had Hunter Biden, and now Giuliani said, well, there was a padlock on the door, and they snapped it off. And now Trump's saying the same thing. So, smelling a rat here. Four top DOJ officials traveled to Mar-a-Lago in early June to speak with the former president's attorneys about the documents. It was reported by CNN the day after the FBI raid. The DOJ's counterintelligence and export control section, Chief Jay Bryant, was reportedly among the group who sat down with Trump's lawyers. Trump's team had shown the government officials where Trump was storing the documents. Investigators observed that some of the files were marked as classified, apparently, but again, the president can hold classified documents. At one point, the president reportedly stopped in to say hello and make small talk before leaving again. Days after the investigators' visit, they reportedly sent Trump's staff a letter on June 8th, asking them to secure the room where they observed the documents being stored. It was then that the padlock was reportedly placed on Trump's door. So, Trump has a Truth Social post in here about, if we can just scroll down to it, John. It's in the article. Yeah, it's embedded. There we go. In early June, the DOJ and FBI asked my legal representatives to put an extra lock on the door leading to the place where boxes were stored in Mar-a-Lago. We agreed. They were shown the secured area and the boxes themselves. Then on Monday, without notification or warning, an army of agents broke into Mar-a-Lago, went to the same storage area, and ripped open the lock that they had asked to be installed. A surprise attack, politics, and all the while our country is going to hell.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong at all. So why is the FBI acting like Trump is trying to cover something up when it's the padlock and the security measure that they asked to put there?
Mm.
So then apparently FBI searched Trump's home to look for nuclear documents and other items. This is the reason apparently they're going in and investigating.
A year and a half after Biden was installed.
Yeah, exactly. After the nuclear codes have already been changed and they weren't affecting them.
At least.
I have seen that apparently it's changed every day, at least some of them.
Right, okay.
So these are at least 2 and a bit years out of date.
Yeah.
But of course, Trump's going to get on the phone and launch the nukes, even though there's apparently a really extensive vetting process before 42 pairs of operators in different locations can launch a single nuke.
Yeah, obviously this is nonsense.
Yeah. So classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items FBI sought in search of Donald Trump's Florida residence on Monday. According to people familiar with the investigation, again, it's always anonymous sources, but they were seeking it. They haven't reported they found any yet.
Hmm.
In the classified documents box, which would be quite easy to rifle through with a large number of FBI agents.
Yeah.
Despite this, people very intelligent have bought into this narrative. As you pointed out to me before we went on air, Sam Harris, lovely. Clearly rescinding his Trump derangement syndrome.
I mean, I really like Sam, but like, come on, Sam. You know that he doesn't have stolen nuclear secrets.
I think sometimes you have people that are very highly intelligent, but are all brain. And so they can explain things like neuroscience and determinism very, very well, but then they forget the just sort of fundamental common sense premises.
Yeah.
And I think this is the case of it. And even Sam Harris has professed he had Trump derangement syndrome, which caused him to vote for Biden and to get, quote, the adults back in the room. And then he said, well, I really regret that one. And now you're still falling for the media line.
I mean, Sam, look at it this way. Do you think Donald Trump would know what nuclear secrets look like if he was handed them?
Well, he was literally handed them because presidents normally walk around with a briefcase.
Like, if they gave him, here's a bunch of documents, Trump would be like, I'm not reading that. Come on.
Yeah. Can someone hand me the audiobook?
Yeah, exactly. I love you, Sam, but like, come on.
Yeah. So speaking of Trump's level of transparency, he's put it best. If we go to the next post, the Truth Social just release the documents now.
Yeah.
And we're inclined to agree.
Because I'm not gonna preempt.
That's fine. No, that's all right. So if we go to the next one, Merrick Garland then held a press conference about this. I just want to excoriate the Washington Post because about half an hour of this is just dead air, and literally he didn't take any questions. So he's up on the podium reading a prescripted statement. Mm. Again, exhumes transparency. So Garland confirmed that he personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. That's his direct quote. So we know the DOJ knew about this. Mm. It was also reported by Jack Posobiec that Biden was briefed on this while he was quarantining for COVID.
Yep.
So Corinne Jean-Pierre saying that Biden didn't know anything about it, bull. Absolute bull. The Justice Department had filed a motion in the Southern District of Florida to unseal the search warrant and property receipt for the Mar-a-Lago raid. He also took no questions on this, as I said.
Yeah.
So if we go on to the next one, Fox News have got a timeline on this. And apparently the DOJ have got today to release it.
Well, before we move on, I was watching the ABC News coverage of coming up to and then after Merrick Garland's press conference. And it was remarkable. It was literally dispatches from the Twilight Zone, where they were like, a bunch of Nazis are really excited about that. Did you know Merrick Garland was Jewish? Oh yeah, it's all very, we don't know what's in it, but I would think that Merrick Garland has done this. I would think he's done that. And it's all like completely baseless speculation and calling Trump supporters Nazis. It's like, this is disgusting.
We've got that clip in here.
Oh, sorry.
Never apologize. I didn't know. It's just insane.
It was mad.
Yeah. You'll have to enjoy the grand reveal in a moment, ladies and gents. So in this one, a federal judge Thursday gave the Justice Department until 3 p.m. Friday, so I believe that's about 8 p.m. tonight, to certify whether President Donald Trump supports or opposes unsealing the warrant and property receipt from the FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago home on Monday. Now, obviously, we saw in the Truth Social post he does, so we're waiting for the official channels, and it should be out today. So hold your breath. The United States shall immediately serve a copy of its motion on counsel for former President Trump. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart, same Epstein judge, wrote in an order on the DOJ's motion to unseal the warrant and property receipt on or before 3 p.m. Eastern time on August 12, 2022, today. The United States shall file a certificate of conferral advising whether former President Trump opposes the government's motion to unseal. So, in other cases, which are purely coincidental, coinciding with this, Trump has also pled the fifth on a probe that's happening at the same time in New York State into his business dealings. So we have the IRS, the New York Attorney General's office, the DOJ, and the FBI all going after Trump at the same time.
Yeah.
It's purely coincidental, I'm sure.
This is Banana Republic stuff.
Absolutely. In the words of Ron DeSantis, one of the other based Florida men. Yeah. President Trump announced he'd invoked his Fifth Amendment rights during a deposition by the New York Attorney General on Wednesday, joining a number of prominent Republicans in his orbit who have elected to remain silent during these recent calls to testify. So he arrived at the office on Wednesday morning and asserted his Fifth Amendment rights almost 450 times. Eric, Ivanka, and Donald Jr., Roger Stone, General Michael Flynn, John Eastman, Jeffrey Clark, and good old Alex Jones all sat for depositions and reportedly did the same thing.
Yeah.
So they're just saying, up yours to the establishment.
Yeah.
But I'd like to point out this sort of framing of this. If you notice, they're saying, well, they're clearly guilty because they're silent. I'd like to remind people that the Fifth Amendment is not only one of the cornerstones of American law, but it is your constitutional right to not have to comply and indict yourself with a bogus kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm.
And this is undermining not just the legitimacy of the Trump administration, because they're trying to bar him from office, but this is dynamite beneath the Constitution. And it's just frustrating to constantly see this witch trial affect, eventually, the rights of ordinary Americans as well. As it already has with January 6th, of course.
And that's what this whole thing is as well. I mean, the January 6th hearings is just a big political show trial, like you would see in a banana republic.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
And speaking of them having no evidence to indict people, this wonderful clip that went viral. Let's play.
Is this unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
A former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
Right. No. Right. Okay. Good. Got it.
Yeah. Someone forgot to mod the Skyrim conversation, the Oblivion NPC, to continue talking. For those who couldn't see the footage there, it was a protest outside Trump Tower with a gigantic banner saying "Arrest Trump."
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Don't even know. Wonderful. Thank you, Rent-A-Mob in Chief. Yeah. Now, apparently, all of our criticism, as you've presaged, is actually racist. So we shouldn't be saying this. Before I jump in, Simone Sanders, the former press secretary for Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign, is doing the exact same thing as the Biden administration did with the recession, trying to redefine it. Folks, please stop calling it a raid.
What would you call it, Simone?
Well, Karine Jean-Pierre called it a raid on the stand. So
one
black woman against another's word, I suppose. But this is exactly the kind of thing that Michael Knowles pointed out in Speechless. It's you're just Orwellian language control to deflect from the clear failures of the regime, either ideological or incompetent. And I think this is definitely ideological.
Totally.
But speaking of the racism, here we go. Use presage. The ABC coverage that said, apparently, if you criticize Merrick Garland or the FBI, it's because you're a Nazi.
Yeah.
Let's play.
That's why I personally don't think, based on my knowing this attorney general and our covering of him, that he's somebody who would have allowed this to happen in a rash way, because he had to know that as soon as this happened, it would supercharge a supercharged environment. And in fact, that's what we saw. As soon as President Trump put out confirmation on Monday that the raid had been done and was underway. We immediately started seeing factions on the far right, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, militia organizers, calling for violence, as they always have done, against Jews. The attorney general is Jewish. Against the FBI, federal law enforcement, against other perceived enemies, enemies they perceived to be enemies of President Trump. It was like clockwork. And then by the next morning, there was already a body of evidence online of this really ugly, terrible, violent rhetoric that had law enforcement incredibly concerned.
So there's two major problems with this. First of all, you're assuming a lot of good faith and goodwill on the part of Merrick Garland leading up to that.
Oh, yes.
To say it's been a very transparent investigation, etc. You know, he's done everything by the book.
And as I said, I watched this live stream. It wasn't that they were asserting, they were saying, we presume, we have got no evidence, but we presume. And then they, you know, launch into the Merrick Garland's perfect and has never done anything wrong.
Sure. Yeah. Despite the fact that Merrick Garland is likely doing this out of revenge, because of course he was going to be a Supreme Court judge. He would look hilarious sitting up there on a bench like a little gnome. Yeah. But it was blocked by, what's his blooming name? Not Lindsey Graham. Mitch McConnell, turtleneck. Right. Yeah, in the waning days of the Obama presidency. So I think this is just Merrick Garland going after his old enemies. Mm. But then the second part of that is the hilarious self-own there, in where he says, it's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory to go after Merrick Garland and the FBI. Well, hang on. Is the entire FBI staffed by Jews? I didn't think so. I thought the FBI was incredibly diverse by its
by its standards.
Or by its adverts it keeps putting out there. So are you saying that Jews run the deep state? It's incredibly anti-Semitic of you. Unbelievable.
But the whole thing is it's clearly just a smokescreen.
Yeah.
You know, if you criticize Merrick Garland, you're basically a Nazi. You're a Nazi adjacent, and therefore he did nothing wrong. And what I found amazing is Merrick Garland's statement is basically like, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Just trust me, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, no, that's not how this works, actually. You know, the half the country really doesn't trust you. I don't really trust you. And I don't think that, like you said, unprecedented. You're raiding a former president's home unannounced. Mm. Like, you can't just fall back on trust me, bro. There isn't trust in the institutions to lean on in this case. There isn't.
But by poisoning the well with the accusation of anti-Semitism, you've created this class, this new aristocracy, which is impugned from criticism, not by their wealth or their birth status, but by them being the formerly marginalized and apparently still marginalized despite sitting in the halls of power communities. You're creating a constituency of people who are impugned from criticism.
Yeah. Merrick Garland is the Attorney General. He is not above criticism just because he's Jewish.
No.
Sorry. No one who is the Attorney General is above criticism, full stop.
Now, we have done some reasonable criticism here, I think.
Yep.
We are doing this because we're concerned about the transparency of institutions, both here and in our former colony. This is not the way to do it, though. And this is my concern, that the FBI are fulminating this kind of civil conflict. Because yesterday, a suspect tried to breach the offices of the FBI's Cincinnati headquarters. He was armed with a nail gun and a firearm, wearing body armor. He was then later spotted by a state trooper along Interstate 71 and fired shots at the trooper. He was chased, and this is according to Lieutenant Nathaniel Dennis, who is a Ohio State Highway Patrol spokesman. The suspect then got out of his car on a road, exchanged gunfire with the police, was injured, and died at the scene. They'd apparently tried peaceful resolutions. These are state cops. They're less likely to be corrupt than the feds. I'm just going to put it out there. The suspect was identified as 42-year-old Ricky Schiffer. And of course, all the coverage is saying the DOJ is looking into him for connections to the Proud Boys, etc. They know he was at January 6th, but he wasn't charged with anything. He seems to be an online radicalized, should we call him, former patriot?
Yeah, and just to be clear, everyone has them. Yeah. Every faction online has their radical, insane person who's done something crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got the example of the other side where the guy who said he was 100% Antifa walked up to a rather large gentleman with a beard who said, we've got a Trumper over here, and just fired guns into his chest. And then Vice News did a puff piece on him while he was still on the run.
Michael Reinholdt or something.
That's his name, yes.
And then you've got the guy who was arrested trying to kill Kavanaugh and another Supreme Court judge the other day.
Yes.
There have been plenty on all sides.
Well, it's been since 2016 with the Ben Shapiro Berkeley riots. It's actually, to bring up Crowder again, him and then producer, not Gay Jared, found out they'd infiltrated the Antifa cell, their chat rooms, and got videos of them. Yeah. And they had K-bars, sawn-off shotguns, etc. Some of the people that night were arrested at the event having these weapons. But beforehand, Crowder had asked the local police if they were interested, didn't act, then contacted the FBI. And the FBI said, no, thank you. Even though there was a provable, credible threat with video evidence, and people were later arrested. It's a failure by the institutions, again, and all it's going to lead to is blood in the streets.
But I just want to really hammer this home because, like, there have been at least two trans shooters now. Yep. There was a guy who screamed free speech or die as a shooter. There was the person who shot the judge. Who's the judge that got shot a couple of years ago? The Bernie bro shot the judge. And
The Steve Solis baseball game shooting.
That was it, yep. And then you even had the YouTube shooter who went and shot up YouTube because she got demonetized.
Yeah, well, you had the recent shooter who was transgender at the 4th of July Day Parade as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's just shooters. Then you've got the Trucks of Peace that were occurring, the Christmas Day Parade massacre.
Yeah, Waukesha. Like yeah.
Yeah, and so it, like, every faction seems to have their radicals who are just excessively online and decide... You know, obviously they've got mental problems and decide to do something terrible.
Yeah. The difference with us is that we say don't do this, yes. Whereas the left are encouraging it with things like active measures. And they say tactics. Yeah. Disgusting.
Direct action is the term they use.
Yeah. The problem I have, and as we can see here with his Truth Social post that says he's declared war and to kill all FBI agents on site, is that the FBI themselves have been openly inciting this. And we know that they've used agent provocateurs in the past. Yeah. We know that they've used undercover agents both at January 6th and at the attempted kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer.
Well, who was that guy at January 6th saying we need to go...
Ray Epps,
yeah.
Did you not see the New York Times piece that interviewed him and said, oh, I'm at the center of a far-right conspiracy theory, etc.? Yeah, we covered it. Harry and I covered it when they indicted Tim Pool. Right. And there was a massive puff piece on Ray Epps. But even though there's video footage of him saying, go into the Capitol, Washington Post have him named in their reporting as fighting with police at the barricades. Not been charged. Hmm.
Well, anyone who gets a positive puff piece in like the New York Times or the Washington Post is a fed.
Yeah. 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 They glow like a blooming worm.
Exactly. Sorry. Don't believe it.
You know? But as many jokes we can make, this is very concerning. Everyone's saying it's unprecedented, and that's very true, but it's not unprecedented to have this kind of build-up of being the frog in the pot.
Well, who's the border agent? Who's the environmental radical, the AOC follower who firebombed a border
facility? ICE facility, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, like this is just happening because of the political temperature of the United States.
Yeah, it's this sort of palpable miasma that Rory's written about in his recent article that everyone can see, and it's making you sick.
Yeah.
And unless we clear the air, something bad is going to happen. And unfortunately, I'm going to dissent. I understand Francis was being very conciliatory the other day.
Yeah.
But the problem is you cannot clear the air with... I'm almost paraphrasing Hillary Clinton here of saying you can't have civility when one side wants to destroy all you have. When one side says all white people are racist and we should have mastectomies on 16-year-olds, it's very hard to find common ground, so to speak. And the FBI are fulminating this stuff with the bogus investigations into President Trump and his allies and inadvertently, possibly, allegedly, creating false flag events by online radicalizing these shooters, these potential terrorists. So Trump and his supporters may feel aggrieved. We all feel aggrieved. We have concerns about the integrity of our democracies, in Democrat language. However, that doesn't mean we do this. And the FBI and the Democrats really need to back off, because the moment that another legion of BLM rioters or even feds come knocking on sovereign American property, there is going to be a firefight that nobody wants.
People need to get off the internet is basically what it is.
Yeah.
You need to get off of Twitter. And speaking of getting off of Twitter, Twitter have given you yet another good reason to not use their platform and instead to use one of the alternatives like Getter, Gab, Truth Social, anything else that operates like Twitter, but not Twitter. And that's because Twitter has created a pre-crime division in their terms of service. They will now be they have a portion of Twitter that is committed to pre-bunking narratives.
Is this their new terms of service?
It is indeed their new terms of service. And I thought we'd talk about it because, of course, this is only going to operate in one direction. If you want to know what I'm talking about, you can go and watch our premium podcast about repressive tolerance, Herbert Marcuse's famous essay that set the stage for them being able to justify any amount of censorship as long as it was against the right. And this rescinding of tolerance is exactly how we've arrived at this point.
Well, it's a pressure cooker to directly incite violence. And so at this point, I think it's a sabotage effort to revoke our one tool of conflict resolution, which is language, in order to bring about a civil strife, which could end the Republic, and it's just they're so sure they're going to win.
Yeah, well, his justification was essentially the right wing is not going to bring about communism, and so everything about the right wing we have to rescind tolerance from them, so we don't tolerate the things that we would tolerate about the left. And of course, that is deeply unfair. Like, any normal person is going to look at that and say, so that person can do X, but that person can't do X. And the reason is simply because of the way that they vote politically. It's like, that's just not fair. It's not cricket. You can't run a democracy or a republic like this. And this is why everything is going to hell in a handbasket, frankly. But anyway, let's go and have a look at Twitter's blog, because, of course, the midterms are coming up. And man, you know that's going to be fair and honest. The integrity of the 2022 midterms is beyond reproach, says Twitter, which really makes me think. They say, we aim to enable healthy civic conversation on Twitter.
The chimpanzee poo-slinging cage of the internet needs to be... Yeah. God almighty.
Have you guys ever used Twitter? Yeah, that's not what it's for.
It's verbal warfare.
Exactly.
It's just the outlet to be the nastiest version of yourself possible for clicks.
Yeah, it's just you incentivize the absolute opposite of that. So it's remarkable that you would have the gall to write that. But that was their opening sort of
salvo.
Yeah. So we aim to enable healthy civic conversation on Twitter while ensuring people have the context they need to make informed decisions about the content they encounter. Because we're a global service, there's almost always an election happening on Twitter. So that again, like, look at the framing, right? There's almost always an election happening on Twitter. Twitter is the important platform where the decision makers gather to be informed about the decisions they should be making. And that's not wrong either, right? That's what Elon Musk is observing.
The strange thing is, though, if they're saying that we're a global platform and elections are always happening in some time in some place on our platform and discourse is, are they therefore conceding that all elections are beyond reproach? Because there are clearly some elections that are incredibly corrupt, obviously not in America, YouTube, in places like the Third World where votes are rigged and, of course, people are subjugated and we sympathize with those people. But Twitter seems to be glossing over human rights violations in developing nations. That's evil.
Well, it's actually quite interesting because Twitter are actually have taken upon themselves to be the arbiter of when it is and is not a fair election, you see. But again, I just love the framing here. There's almost always an election happening on Twitter. I suppose if like every politician is using your platform and every journalist is using your platform, and this is where like their narratives are crafted to be filtered down to the main public, the majority public, then they would see themselves as essentially the kind of, you know, elite council room of politics. And that's what that phrase means. But anyway, they say, today we're announcing steps ahead of the US midterms to protect civic conversation on Twitter. Brilliant. I love having my conversation fortified by the powers that be. Today, as we do ahead of other global elections, we're activating our enforcement of civic integrity policy for the 2022 US midterms. The civic integrity policy covers the most common types of harmful, misleading information about elections and civic events, such as claims about how to participate in a civic process like how to vote, misleading content intended to intimidate or dissuade people from participating in an election, and this is the important part, misleading claims intended to undermine public confidence in an election, including false information about the outcome of the election.
So Al Gore is going to be banned.
I guess. We'll get into who's going to be banned and who's not going to be banned.
Okay, I won't presage that.
Again, going back to the Repressive Tolerance podcast.
I guarantee someone is going to be banned, whether it's Posobiec, etc., day by saying, oh, Democrats, don't worry, voting starts next week. The old joke of, my other side, don't worry, your vote starts tomorrow. They're going to take that out of context and ban someone.
I mean, that's literally the first thing.
Yeah.
You know, or the second thing, sorry, misleading content to dissuade people from participating in the election or how to vote. Yeah, the old joke is going to be bannable, frankly. Yeah.
So is saying only alive people should vote.
Well, yeah. But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, false information about the outcome of the election. So Twitter has decided that you can't, if in advance of the outcome of the election, you post what they view to be false information about the outcome of the election, well, that could be a bannable offence.
What if you accidentally call a state early, like the Young Turks did in 2016 live stream? You're going to be banned retroactively when the
assuming you got it wrong, it would be justified. You know, it'd be hard to not justify it. But they say that tweets with this content may be labelled with links to credible information or helpful context, and Twitter will not recommend or amplify this content in areas of product of the product where Twitter makes recommendations. Right, so this is kind of like the pre-crime division. And of course, they will know that what you've tweeted is not credible because Twitter is a source of unlimited information. They have credible information, and I don't know why they don't just put up a Wikipedia page or something. This is the credible information. This is the narrative. There's no bother point questioning it. But why even permit any kind of political discussion or debate or information sharing on Twitter if they already know what the right answers are? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? They say, late last year, we tested new misleading information labels and saw promising results. The new labels increased click-through rates by 17%, meaning that more people were clicking labels to read debunking content.
No, they clicked it because they wanted to know exactly what nonsense what was the you'd lie. Attached it.
Yeah. I think that for the skeptical side, should we say, yes. That's probably what was happening. We also saw notable decreases in engagement with tweets labeled with the new design. Minus 13% in replies, minus 10% in retweets, and minus 15% in likes.
So when we algorithmically deranked you, we found out you had less engagement. Yeah. Shock.
And when we put up this warning label and make it so that, and this is just the effect of having to click more than once. Like any software developer will tell you, have whatever you want the people to reach, do the minimum number of clicks, because people just get bored of clicking and just go do something else.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I can't be bothered to click that, I'm just going to move on. And so there we go. But anyway. Then they get to their pre-bunks, which I think is the really interesting bit. In the lead up to election day, we shall share prompts with information about how and where to vote directly to people's timelines. Great. I love that Twitter is going to show me what to do. But we're also bringing back pre-bunks in English, Spanish, and other languages supported on Twitter to get ahead of misleading narratives on Twitter and to proactively address topics that may be the subject of misinformation.
Can I just say, the fact they said English, Spanish means this is a concession that despite them saying, oh, we're a global platform, all of our elections happen around the world, directly targeting the US.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And directly targeting like states like Texas.
Yes.
We have a large...
Arizona.
Where you have, in Florida, we have large Spanish-speaking populations that may not want to vote Democrat.
No.
They may have their skepticism about that party themselves. But isn't this just the worst? This is oh, what was the film? What was the film with the, I can't even remember. Minority Report.
Yeah. That's Minority Report.
Minority Report. This is literally what Twitter is claiming to have access to, is futuristic information on what is a misleading narrative.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you're going to appeal to the experts, it's like, okay, well, what about the CDC or the World Health Organization's perspective on masks and COVID? I mean, this has been all over the shop for the entire time. So it's not like you can say, well, they, you know, just look at the World Health Organization. They were right. Well, they've changed. Fauci has been on every side of every issue of the COVID pandemic since day one. I mean, you are not like the fonts of truth, except... That's not how the Democrats work. This is why, you know, the problem with redefinition is coming about. They have decided that basically everything we say is true. Everything you say is either what we say or it is false. And that's what this means. You can't get ahead of misleading narratives if you don't already know what the truth is. And if you do already know what the truth is, that means you are setting the agenda and lying about what's really happening. That's it. You know, and this, again, to say this just shows you, if you had any doubt that the system was rigged against the Republicans and in favor of the Democrats, that doubt must be abolished by now. That doubt must be gone.
It's gone beyond hubris. This is now hegemonic.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great word. This is hegemonic, right? That is just, and they're just saying it to you. They're just saying, no, we're going to pre-bunk. We're going to tell you what the narrative will be that you're allowed to follow on Twitter. And I can tell you what it's going to be. The narrative is that actually Joe Biden won, the Democrats won in a landslide election.
Yeah, more black votes than Obama in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. More votes than anyone ever. Most popular party in the world. Don't know why you're questioning this. And when people are sharing videos of things that are happening in real time, well, if that goes against the pre-bunk, we already know what's going to happen.
It doesn't even reach our dashboards in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pre-screened. It reminds me, you've brought up Minority Report, but basically Twitter has become S.H.I.E.L.D. from, and I hate the Marvel movies, but from Captain America Winter Soldier. They are a massive, now government-partnered apparatus with all of the aircraft carriers in the hangar ready to go. Yeah. And they've been captured by, I forgot who the director's name is, he's played by Robert Redford, ironically, who is meant to be the president in the alternate Watchmen universe as well. Clearly a Democrat. And they're going to pre-screen people who are likely to commit crimes and therefore have these little drones following them around all the time.
Really?
Yeah, you've got this in your pocket just saying to you, okay, you're likely to access election misinformation. Therefore, we're just going to pre-filter your feed so that you subscribe to the current thing.
That is exactly it. And they're going to have these in state-specific event hubs. So this is going to be...
Which states?
Well, it's not going to be in California, is it?
Well, it might be, actually, because, well, of course, so California, the interesting thing about it is it's been reported by Democrat outlets that they have had so many illegal immigrants, it's actually given them an extra vote in the, the Electoral College.
Yeah.
So just by the raw population expansion of non-documented people, they now have more electoral power.
But I mean, the need for filtering is what I mean. It's not going to be need for filtering in California, because that's already decided. And they say, you know, well, we take our role seriously. Twitter plays a critical role in empowering democratic conversations. Yeah, how could democracy ever have happened before Twitter? Facilitating meaningful political debate, which, again, just remarkable they have the gall to say this.
Yeah, when it's most famous for Donald Trump calling Stormy Daniels horse face.
And providing information on civic participation, not only in the US, but around the world. People deserve to trust the election conversations and content they encounter on Twitter. Well, you can trust it to be Democrat propaganda.
Yeah.
That's what you can trust it to be. And you're going to want to use Getter, Gab, or Truth Social to see what the Republican side of that conversation is going to be, because it's just not going to be available on Twitter. That's what Twitter is saying to you with this terms of service. And again, like, let's go to an actual tweet that they posted about this. You know, it's the bit about misleading claims. I mean, you can see the ratio on that, you know, 12,000 quote tweets. People are like, hang on a second. And so, like, people were replying to this with just... For example, go to the next one. 10 minutes of Democrats claiming that the 2016 election was stolen. Mm. And it's every major Democrat. You know, as you see, it's Hillary Clinton here. Yeah. Is that right? Okay, so Twitter, if election integrity is something that you guys are concerned about, what you must be saying by allowing this to go around and have no problem, you know, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, all of these people, what you're saying is you think the 2016 election was stolen.
Mm.
That must be what you think. Or... it's that the rule only applies to Republicans.
Well, if you're to be charitable, I'm sure as well their vaccine misinformation policy, which Vijaya Gad and Jack Dorsey told Tim Pool on the Joe Rogan podcast they would never implement when COVID came in, was clearly to curb the Democrats spreading vaccine misinformation. Because remember, they said they wouldn't take a Trump vaccine.
That's a great point.
So clearly, again, it's either you're applying the standard consistently or it only flows in one direction.
Yep. But this, again, it's complete... repressive tolerance. I mean, go to the next one. You got Nancy Pelosi here. This tweet from 2017, still up. Twitter doesn't care. Because it's Nancy Pelosi. That's why. Our election was hijacked. I mean, you couldn't get a more extreme statement than that. And of course, she means by Russia, which the Russia investigation turned out to be absolutely nothing.
And funded by the opposition.
And funded by the opposition. And an obvious way to try and down Trump's presidency rather than actually engage with the fact that he actually seems to have legitimately won. I mean, I don't really think that Trump had the means to hijack the election.
He's threatening to nuke Moscow, I don't think they're much of an ally.
Yeah, strange, yeah. But again, if this is okay, then either you believe that Trump hijacked the election or the rule doesn't apply to Nancy Pelosi. Or you've got the White House press secretary, the diversity hire. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from the Georgians and Stacey Abrams.
No way. 2 years before employment as well.
Yeah. They just all say it. This was from 2 years ago. They were saying that these elections were stolen for ages.
Yeah.
And Twitter's like, yeah, but there's one election you can't say was stolen. But anyway, as you can see, this is just going to be used as a partisan tool to further cement the hegemonic power of the Democrats across social media. Be aware that when you post, I have doubts about this, you know, voting area. I have doubts that in Chicago, they've boarded up all the walls and all the windows and won't let the Republican poll watchers in. I have slight doubts there. No, banned. Mm. Banned from Twitter. Banned from everywhere. You know, probably banned from YouTube at some point. Like, just be aware you're going to have to use alternate social media. So go and follow everyone you like on Gab, Getter, Truth Social, everywhere else. Just follow them. You have to do it.
Can I quickly chime in with a potential white pill?
Yeah, please.
So even though this looks like they're outsourcing Nina Jankowicz's disinformation department to Silicon Valley, which we know they did during the pandemic because they got up with the Surgeon General saying we're going to remove vaccine misinformation and disinformation. Disinformation there being the key word because that's actually a classification of interstate warfare propaganda. I don't know if you're familiar with Alex Berenson, the guy who recently...
I'm aware of the name, but I don't know...
He was banned and recently did a lawsuit to get himself back on Twitter.
That's how I know him.
And settled to get back on Twitter. However, his lawyers have indicated that they may have seen something to do with the US government interfering and directing who to ban Twitter specifically. And Naomi Wolf, of all people, was on Tim Pool's show the other night and said, I am actively pursuing a lawsuit as well because I have proof that the government, specifically for my vaccine views, told them to ban me from Twitter. So if these lawsuits materialize and they don't just settle out to get back on Twitter, we may uncover some actual government interference which could be acted on, say, if a Trump's third term materialize over the horizon.
I always knew the US government was behind me getting banned from Twitter.
On that joyous note, speaking of social media interference, shall we? Yep. So if TikTok wasn't bad enough, now the Albanians are using it to invade the UK. And I wish I was being hyperbolic, but I'm not. But before we do that, let's talk about, over on lotusthesis.com, why this kind of immigration is why you can't get a house. Callum was gracious enough to walk me through all the stats, and I just sat there making jokes, of course, but this was actually my first podcast for the company. I was very gracious for you to invite me in. But my generation is currently trapped in pods, and the reason is we build about 400,000 houses a year, but we import net about 400,000 people a year, and it's only increasing because the Tories brought in 1 million people on work visas, etc., which always overstayed last year, plus illegal migration, and not a single Conservative leadership candidate, either in the five-person run or in the two-person run currently going on, has spoken about lowering legal migration at all.
Or I think there was one sentence from Kemi Badenoch.
I don't know if she said legal, because everyone did say illegal, but you'll have to check.
I'll have to check that. I'm sure she said something about, we'll have to look at immigration numbers, something like that. Right. So very, very tepid.
Very vague, tepid. Yes. Still within the paradigm. However, they've only so far mentioned the small boats.
Yeah.
So speaking of the small boats, let's look at where we are, shall we? There was a new daily record set on the 2nd.
Bravo, record setting. We're number one.
Last Monday, and that was 696 people in a single day. So nearly 700 people besieging our shores. Wonderful. If we go on to the next one, this is just the illegal channel crossings for last year. So there were 4,540 people detected arriving by small boats in January to March of this year. This is more than three times higher than they were for the same 3 months in 2021. Those were only 1,363. There were 2,526 people detected arriving in last year. This compares with 8,466 in 2020. 1,843 in 2021 and 299 in 2018. So we're getting three times as many last Monday than in the whole of 2018. So this exponential increase of tripling of 2020 to 2021 and now 20,000 up from this time last year, this projected to increase 50% this year already. So at the rate of increase, the numbers will eclipse the 61,000 British troops that stormed Normandy by 2024.
They're getting the boats.
Interesting question. I don't quite have the answer to that. But of course, when they're seized by the RNLI, apparently they're going to a warehouse. And I've heard reports that cannot be confirmed that they're being auctioned off. But to who?
Oh.
We don't know. So it could just be a circular system.
Yeah, it could be
a feedback loop for mass migration. Yeah. So what's exacerbating this? Well, TikTok, apparently, if you look at the Mail's reporting, the TikTok summer sale for migrants. If you can scroll through the images, please, John, just as I discuss, because they don't have the videos playing, but they do have some screenshots, which are just hilarious. People traffickers have launched a £1,500 a person summer sale to cross the channel illegally in a dinghy, mainly aimed at Albanians, exploiting a loophole in the UK's anti-slavery laws, which allows people to stay here if they arrive on our shores and they're saying they've been trafficked for slave labour. So we keep them here as an underclass under the anti-slavery laws.
That is mad.
It was advertised on TikTok with the promise, the French won't stop you. They will escort you safely until you reach the UK. So why is Priti Patel paying them multi-millions to not?
Yeah.
At least a third of the 3,000 migrants who crossed from France in the past 6 weeks used one of the offers. Leaked figures have revealed migrants from the Balkan country, Albania, now make up 4 in 10, that's 37.5% exactly, of arrivals, with 1,075 Albanians arriving in the UK aboard dinghies and small boats in the 6 weeks up to July 12th. The price of crossing the channel appears to have dropped from close to 20,000 to between 5,000 and 3,000 per person. In some cases, it has now been as low as 1,500 to fill inflatable boats landing on the Kent coast. One advert said, don't pay 17,000 to 18,000. They are passing by every day. It has never been cheaper. Another shows a group in a dinghy while holding the Albanian flag and promising safe passage to UK for £5,000. The last one I've got here says, hurry Albanians, England is waiting.
I hate it.
Reminder, Albania is a NATO country.
Yeah.
So they're protected by us, and then they're just offloading their entire population to us for cheap slave labour.
I hear you.
Now, it would be terrible to claim, of course, that Albania is a safe country, as do noted right-wing outlet The Guardian. UK tourists head to Albania for sense of exotic without long-haul flight.
Albania is exotic, is it?
So it's a short trip. Actually, if you go through some of the photos here, some of it looks quite nice. I mean, I'm not going to say it's the safest place in the world, but the architecture is quite pretty. Apparently, it's got quite a nice climate.
Yeah, that is nice.
So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It's hardly a war-torn hellscape.
Why do you want to come and live in our slums? Our brutalist slums. Why do you want to come here?
Yeah, well, it's... I mean, that's not exactly the nicest looking thing in the world, but cliffs are lovely. Some of the beaches look all right. I might visit myself next year. I might actually hop in a dinghy and do a round trip. It's probably cheaper. I remember actually speaking to my friend once, who's a Texan and his wife's American as well, and they've got to pay to renew their visa every year. Mm. And I once told him, just hop in, just get a flight to France, hop in a rubber duck, come over, and they'll pay to put you up.
Yep.
Far less expensive. So GB News have been doubling down on this, and God bless them. They didn't do the best for the FBI coverage, but they're doing fantastic on this, and it's because Farage is covering it, as per usual. So TikTok has been used by human trafficking gangs to advertise English channel crossings. One caption from a clip posted last month, translated from the Albanian, says, "Today we passed three rafts of 60 people from Dunkirk. Tomorrow the other way. 5,000 the way, we are the strongest group in France." One similar post said, "We have a route every day until the end of July. We're the best group in France to pass people. Price is 5,000. DM for the next route." Another said, "Only for 4,000. What are you waiting for?" It's actually like a travel brochure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like TUI. "Leave tomorrow. Contact in DM. One of the videos claimed to get you from Brussels to the UK for £4,550 just one day, and a recent post offered a summer sale to customers for a cut price of £3,500. TikTok has only banned four of the counts flagged to them by GB News.
If there's 30 people on here paying £5,000 a pop, that's 150 grand.
Nice making, work if you can get it.
Yeah, on one, like, two-hour trip.
Yeah, and bear in mind this is costing us £5 million a day.
Yeah.
So they're making absolute... ridiculous loads. They probably don't even have the space to store the cash. And meanwhile, and we are hemorrhaging funds.
And there's like, you know, five or six of these dinghies coming a day. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So if we can just play Marja Farage covering this, some of the TikTok ads are just hilarious.
A GB News viewer who's done a deep dive into TikTok and found this material. Okay. This video from July was on TikTok. And here it is. They're in coming across... from Albania, they're going to Brussels by aeroplane. There they are. They've arrived in Brussels. They're now on the coast, as you can see. They're at Dunkirk, and this is where they've got to get to. They have got to get to London. And the advert says it can all be done in 24 hours. A video here of the boat to tell the punters who are going to get rid of 4,500 what it is. And there we are, 27th of July. Come on the 27th of July. It's £4,500 per person. There's the phone number. We've obviously redacted the last part of the phone number, but there is the phone number to ring. And this is your journey. Look, beautiful flat seas. There's the boat just taking off from the beach of Dunkirk. Not a gendarme in sight, quite why Priti Patel wants to send tens of millions of more pounds to them is quite utterly beyond me. And they're off on their cross-channel journey. But of course, it turns out that it's not 21 miles or so across the English Channel. No, all they've got to do is get to the UK 12-mile line. That's the important thing. Once you get to the UK 12-mile line, something is going to happen. And we'll see this in a little bit as this film progresses. Yes, here we are, a sunny day. They're at sea. There we are. They're at sea. Everybody's happy, nice and calm. And there's the taxi. The taxi's arrived, yes, otherwise known as Border Force. It could, of course, on some days have been the RNLI, but they crossed the 12-mile line. They've probably, in many cases, been escorted there all the way by the French Navy, and they're picked up, and here we are, they've arrived. It's London. It's Saturday night in London. We're staying in a lovely four-star hotel. Let's all go out and celebrate. That was last week. This week, today, this was posted on TikTok. Have a look at this. There we are. Summer sale! You can now come for a knockdown price of £3,500. Well, there it is, folks.
So, yeah. By the morning, you're flying to France. By the evening, you're an Uber driver.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then also, they're all marketing it with the emojis, with the graphics, with the very well-edited cuts between every stage in the journey. It's like backpackers going to Bali for their gap year.
Yeah, except they're breaking into our country.
Yeah, they're besieging the UK. So we're not going to play this one, but I'm just going to summarize briefly. He's also said about the fact that this is Albanian gangs as well as... Kurdish gangs as well as the Albanians. Mm-hmm. And they're apparently setting up cash-in-hand barbershops and car washes everywhere.
Yeah.
This is one of the few actual cash businesses still done. I ended up using a cash-in-hand barbershop. I'm not going to say whether or not that was the case because I don't know who runs it. But it was very odd having to go, oh, okay, I'll put my coat down and nip down to the outlet and take it out. And apparently the reason it's all cash in hand is so they can avoid taxes and they don't have to have any documents for the people that are working there. But lots of them are pretending to be Turkish, apparently, because that's somehow, they think that's going to be higher trust to the British, which is a strange thing to do.
Yeah, we love the Turks.
Yeah. I'm going there at the end of the month, and there you go. Their economy's going swimmingly as well. So Albania has apparently fallen prey to right-wing British media and politicians. Apparently this is all just a smear campaign, despite them filming themselves breaking into the country.
Okay, yeah, sure.
This is an Albanian national news outlet.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah, so reports in the media noted that three times as many Albanian migrants are trying to enter the country compared to other countries of origin.
Sorry, just to go back to the person who wrote this. Alice Taylor at the top.
That's interesting.
Written by an Alice, so not an Albanian name then.
No. Okay.
So it's some English person who's writing a lie.
Yeah, right. Likely they've outsourced our national sabotage. The information was immediately weaponized by politicians seeking to debunk the rhetoric that immigrants are those fleeing war-torn countries. Yeah, notoriously war-torn country, Albania.
Or France. Sorry.
Or any of the countries you came through, you could have stopped off on an overnight stop or walked.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I know Belgium's a bit rubbish, but the report reveals that 1,075 Albanians made up 37.5 of the 2,863 people who crossed in the 6 weeks between the 1st of June and the 12th of July. They were followed by Iranians, also not at war, terrible country, Afghanis.
Not at war.
Settled, terrible country, but most of them prefer the Taliban to our occupation anyway. Iraqis. That was our fault, but it's still a hellhole. And Syrians, again, not our fault. Fueling the fire was top channel journalist Mohamed Velou, noted British white supremacist Mohamed, who gave an interview to notorious right-wing and anti-immigrant ex-politician and Brexiteer Nigel Farage. Based. And then they go on to list his accolades, of course, all of his endorsements. The former UKIP leader is known for his anti-EU views, links to the Pizzagate conspiracy, a condemner of George Soros, and has been accused of anti-Semitism, being anti-LGBT, and pro-conversion therapy, nonsense, sexist comments, Islamophobia, praising Putin, banning HIV positive people from entering the UK, silver linings, as well as being involved in several expenses scandals.
Jesus.
But then they go on to admit, it is kind of happening, but people we don't like are saying it. So this is the infamous interview in question they complain about with the journalist named Mohamed. Nigel Farage, they asked him, why do so many Albanians want to enter the UK illegally? And he just says, my quick response is going to be one word, poverty. Most of the people who are going from Albania to the UK on the boat are from Northern Albania, a place without the possibility of employment. So economic migrants.
Yeah.
Straight from the mouth of an Albanian.
Yep.
Fantastic. Nope, we're all racist. Apparently Priti Patel, also noted white supremacist, saying 70% of economic migrants is bunk. Oh. No, turns out all the Albanians aren't fleeing a war. They aren't fleeing their holiday destination of a country. They're just broke and want Gibbs' job. Lovely.
Not only that, not even the job. They want state benefits as well.
Yeah, which immigrants claim at a disproportionately higher rate. And you're wondering why the NHS, despite exponentially increasing funding, is going down the pan. He also mentioned the fact that the Kurdish gangs are involved in trafficking gangs. And I dug up a thing from the National Crime Agency here from fairly recently. I think this was last year. Six men, five from the northeast of England and another from London, represent, have been charged as part of a major National Crime Agency investigation into an organised criminal network alleged to have smuggled hundreds of Iraqi Kurdish immigrants into the UK. The migrants would be charged between 5,000 and 10,000 for using lorries to transport people from France, Belgium, and the Netherlands. So it's been
big business.
An issue that's been going on for ages. Yep. And besides Priti Patel showing up and doing photo shoots at the people trafficking bus, policy-wise, from Whitehall and Parliament, sod all's happened.
Well, they're complaining the lefty human rights lawyers are stopping us. Okay, but you have a massive majority in Parliament. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
What are they using to stop you? Get rid of that.
I'm going to cover in a moment the actual legality of
that. Sorry, yeah, yeah.
And no, don't apologise, but the Conservatives' proposed solution is equally as stupid.
Oh, of course it is.
So I've done some digging.
Of course it is.
So the effect of this... that's right. We're Conservatives.
What was I thinking? Sorry, God.
That's all right. So the effect of this is that now the UK has moved into the top 10 most common countries of birth for mothers and fathers born outside the UK.
Oh, yeah. What a shock.
Obviously, as well, this isn't included in here, but I saw this just before going on air. GB News published on the 5th of July earlier this year that now Mohammed is the most popular name in 2022 in the UK.
Yeah, the most popular boy's name.
Yeah, fantastic. The reverse is actually happening with Indigenous Brits, and this isn't a great replacement conspiracy theory. It's just looking at the numbers. Yeah. It's not saying there's a coordinated campaign, but we do have a problem with demographics in this country. Under 625,000 babies born in England and Wales in 2021 were from Indigenous Brits. That's up 2% from 2020. We're already doing well. The fertility rate was 1.61 children per woman in 2021, slightly higher than the 1.58 in 2020. The slight increase in births was driven by a bump in women in their early 30s having children, who had a rate of 1.07, up 1.03 the year before.
Anything to do with the lockdown? Can't go anywhere.
Do you remember the baby boom from lockdown that was predicted?
They claimed that it was going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, it's a massive baby bust instead, it turns out. There's a great piece in CapEx that I didn't include, but you'll be able to dig it up if you go look for it, where they interviewed a bunch of people, including like Italian couples, etc. Yeah. And they said, the economics mean we have to put it off. Right. So it's a self-perpetuating issue. Even if you're locked in your apartment with your significant other, with nothing to do, as Dostoevsky would say, but sleep, eat cakes, and busy yourself with the continuation of the species, not a lot of bumping and grinding was going on, it turns out. And even if it was to do with contraception because nobody could afford to have them. And so we've ended up in this hellscape, as The Guardian gleefully reports. Record numbers of women reach 30, child-free in England and Wales. More than half.
Well 50%, done, ladies.
Yeah. The first time ever, more than half of the women above 30 don't have children. This is a genuine crisis, not just because we'd like the continuation of our civilization. We should be grateful for having inherited it, but the meaningfulness of having a family. It's a lonely 40 after 40 without kids. I fear that a lot of women, particularly my generation, are going to be bitter and miserable when, down the line, they realise they were lied to and their biological clock runs out.
Well, one of the things I find interesting is when women get into their 40s, the word I constantly hear used by 40-plus women is, I become invisible.
Mm.
That's an interesting word, because up until that point, they've always enjoyed a lot of attention from men, but when they get into their 40s, they're like, men just stop paying attention. It's like, yeah, because you're not youthful anymore.
Yeah,
that's what men are attracted to, unfortunately.
I remember the Sex and the City writer, she got to about 60 and she said, my greatest regret was pursuing a career over a family. And she is a woman who had told generations of women, go into a metropolitan area, be a career woman, sleep around. And it turns out that she's had a miserable life.
Yeah. And so to avoid this invisibility, you would have children and grandchildren, people who want and need things from you. But if you don't have that, well, it's going to be lonely.
So obviously this is not a coordinated conspiracy theory necessarily, unless you count Tony Blair's attempt to rub the right's nose in diversity. But as we can see from this Telegraph piece, which words it quite well, a conspiracy of silence about the impact of mass migration has cost Britain dear. And that conspiracy of silence is happening among Conservative politicians, because all they do is talk about the small boats. Of course, that's a major issue, as we've seen here. But also, mass legal migration is also a problem.
Yeah, the small boats are a drop in the ocean. Like, if 50,000 migrants come across the channel this year, which I think what they were expecting was something about that. Well, we had 1 million come in last year, 1.16 million come in legally. Yeah. It's nothing.
No, no. And this is not because of skin colour, to cut it off at the past,
bloody white, you know?
It's Albania, noted brown country, Albania. Yeah, yeah. It's because if too many people come in at once without an appreciation of the culture and without even speaking the same language, they are distanced from the thing that that built the civilization they want to inherit in the first place. And so they live in essentially the empty ribcage of a beautiful country. And if too many people come in without the ability to assimilate, it just means we lose our national identity, which plenty of well-intentioned immigrants would like to come to and participate in the first place. So.
But the thing is, a lot of these people are the economic migrants that are not people who are, say, lovers of Britain.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have just come and they don't care.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but we don't need to bring those people. We can just bring in the people who actually like us.
Yeah.
And that'll be fine.
And it's frustrating because they have a parasitic relationship to the British state. But the only reason we're so prosperous is because of the culture in the first place.
Yes.
It's because of the English Protestant work ethic, as we were talking about off air, that makes us diligent, rather than a lot of Mediterranean countries, for example, that they pass through and don't stay in, where they'll siesta all day and it turns out they're bankrupt.
Fewer Gibbs.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So Migration Watch has said that Britain could expect more than 2 million immigrants every 10 years for the foreseeable future unless curbs were introduced. Despite declining birth rates, the population increase over the past 20 years is the fastest in history. And it's not a great replacement theory. It's just that British people aren't having kids. We're subsidising it with mass immigration. It's creating a massive underclass and it's exacerbating things like housing and healthcare. And it's not sustainable. It's not good. So
this is in no way theoretical. That's the point. These are the numbers. This is what's actually happening.
It's just raw data.
And we can see that in the high streets.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's people from just all over the world, just, you know, all skin colours, all languages. And it's like a Middle Eastern bazaar or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It's changed the national character. And again, we don't care about skin colour. We care about, can the institutions these people have inherited be maintained? And they have no ties to it.
No.
And this is why you and Bo have spoken about before, mass remigration being inevitable. If a war were to break out or economics decline were to get really severe, they'd hop back on the boats and go back and take all the wealth with them. So, are there any solutions to try and stop this? Well, one of the first things we have to do is repeal the Human Rights Act of 1998.
Oh, you're against human rights.
Well, it is Tony Blair's.
Yes.
So, because this is actually what the ECHR, this is based on the ECHR. So this is embedded into our law. And Article 5 of the ECHR is where a lot of the migration stuff hinges on, because it's the right to liberty and security. Now, those two words seem antithetical in the first place, because What's the old adage from
if you
the
trade
American...
liberty for security, you'll get neither.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Benjamin Franklin quote. So if you're trying to have the government guarantee you freedom and that at the same time, then, well, we need to repeal the Domestic Human Rights Act of 1998 because it's founded on faulty premises before we commit to what incumbent Prime Minister, I think it's fair to call her, Liz Truss, has said in repealing the influence of the ECHR and replacing it with the British Bill of Rights. If the British Bill of Rights is based on human rights legislation that Tony Blair brought in, we're up S Creek, let's put it that way. But their suggested replacement is equally as incompetent. It's the 1951 UN Refugee Convention. And it's 1967 amendment. And I believe it might have been Rishi Sunak specifically, but I think Liz Truss's camp is also on board with this, who said about this at one of the hustings as the direct replacement as a definition of refugee. So I'll get onto the definition of refugee in a minute, but Article 14 of the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights, enshrined into law into member states, that includes us, says that it's the entitlement of any person to seek asylum in co-signatory countries. Everyone has the right to seek and enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. This right may not be invoked in the case of prosecutions genuinely arising from non-political crimes or from acts contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. And this is what everyone whines about when they say, oh, but you can't... do your asylum application abroad, you have to do it as soon as you land here. So there's no actual real routes for immigration unless you use the small boats. The point of us being an archipelago is there are many safe nations on the way that you would have had to stop in, and so you should have petitioned it there. So even if we, as a UN nation, subscribe to this belief, our geography inhibits us from being the last port of call anyway.
Yeah.
But what is a refugee, according to the UN? We're going to do a Matt Walsh documentary on this.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to do it. Okay. The 1951 definition of a refugee... In this piece of legislation is someone who is unable or unwilling to return to their country of origin owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or political opinion. That's so broad.
Yeah, that can
it
be
is absurd.
Anyone.
Yeah, that is what is a woman? A woman is anyone who identifies as a woman.
Well, I'm a refugee now, yeah.
Because I identify as a refugee. I'm a refugee from the British state, so if I tweet something mean,
yeah,
I'm going to be banged up, am
I? I mean, we probably will have to move to Hungary at some point, so we're going to have to rely on that.
I mean, the architecture in Budapest is particularly better than London. I do want to go over at some point. Also, one of the first places to drop is vaccine requirements.
Yeah.
So this is also the same UN, if you think they're going to be able to define human rights or refugees particularly accurately, who have appointed China and Saudi Arabia on its human rights committees. But there's also the great example.
What does human rights even mean when China and Saudi Arabia get to dictate?
Yeah, exactly. I'm unable or unwilling to afford human rights to my constituents.
Yeah.
I identify as a free and transparent democracy. this is also the same UN which changed its definition of free speech in Article 19, after the 14, because the Soviet Union dissented.
Oh, yeah, I recall, yeah.
Yeah, they said we want actually the right, not for free expression, but we want free expression with the proviso clause of banging up in a gulag anyone who's a Nazi or a fascist, of course. And so the UN will just bend over backwards for any tyrant and punish actual transparent, prosperous nations.
Yeah.
And that's why people are fleeing those and coming here. So, despite the conservative institutional apathy to actually fixing this problem, we do have one small win. Thought I'd end on a minor white pill.
Well, that's good. I like small wins because that's better than zero wins.
Yeah, well, it's a win of they're not oppressing us yet, but we'll take what we can get. Linton-on-Ouse, a tiny village in North Yorkshire, which Mark Stein on GB News as well has done God's work on reporting on consistently. They had a population of 600 and they planned to house 1,500 mostly male, or let's say entirely male, shall we, asylum seekers, air quotes, who didn't speak the language, in an RAF military base right next to it. And there was a lot of security concerns about the girls there, for example.
Yeah, no kidding.
They only had one little village shop, so all the migrants are going to raid the local co-op and there's going to be no supplies left, though I don't think they stock haram food. A government spokesperson said, the government is steadfastly committing to tackling illegal migration, stopping dangerous small boat crossings, and reducing the number of asylum seekers in hotels, which cost the taxpayer more than $5 million a day. Then do something.
Yeah.
Please do something. And this is why we come on to a call to action from Migration Watch UK. An open letter to the Conservative candidates. If we can just scroll down, just slightly. Migration Watch UK has published a remarkable poll on what the public really feel about massive, uncontrolled, unchecked, illegal immigration that continues. The poll found that 60% of the public wish to see a number of immigrants coming to the UK reduced, 34% by a lot. Count me in that.
Well, count me in the smaller percentage, which means ended entirely.
On immigration policy, those who intend to vote Conservative had very clear views. About 40% wanted a substantial reduction in net migration. 19% wanted tens of thousands, while 18% wanted a commitment to stop all migration to the UK, a total of 77% of the public.
I'm in the 18%. I didn't know.
Okay. Would you please tell the public, and in particular those who are now considering which candidate to vote for, that you will commit to a substantial reduction in net migration? So, anyone who's planning to go into the rest of the Conservative hustings, I would love if, even if you don't pre-screen the question right before, and I don't like the grip as much, but they did do this tactic for great effects to the neocons in America, go up to the microphone and just ask, hey, we're really concerned about the NHS, about housing. What will you do not just to increase supply, but decrease demand by capping both illegal and legal migration for the UK? It is the only way out of this mess where people traffickers exploit social media to move people in as a permanent underclass in this country and worsen the housing situation for people like me.
Honestly, we are the 18%. I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Did you want to bring up the link again quickly, John? Just
One final plug for this hangout later.
We'll go to the video comments in a second. But remember, folks, after the podcast, be doing a nice hangout about the cultural colonization of this country by the woke.
I've seen a little bit of the material and I can't wait.
It's going to be fun. Anyway, let's go to the video comments.
Carl, I really enjoyed your recent debate with Adam and Sitch regarding the flaws in the assumptions which underpin liberal ideology. In the past, your debates with them had always seemed a little futile, with both of them frequently strawmanning your arguments and preventing any organic flow of ideas in the conversation. Although Adam tried very hard to pursue this same line of discourse, this time, fortunately, Sitch provided a very good moderating voice to bring both sides of the discussion to a synthesis.
Oh, well, thank you.
I don't think Sitch was that moderate, because he did jump in at one point and say that you were insulting Adam when you weren't. And Adam was calling you an effing liar, which I...
It's fine.
Yeah, no. Obviously, you know, you're friends with them, but I just don't understand how Adam can't conceive of the cut flower culture phenomenon.
It's a long discussion, I think.
Yeah, we'll have to have another time. People should watch it because it was very
good. He is quite sensitive and his elephant gets triggered. But I love you, Adam, don't worry.
So my question is for Carl. It's about something that was discussed a few weeks ago about how Dr. Oz is a pretty terrible candidate. So given what you know about the Democrats trying to get rid of the filibuster and how progressive John Fetterman is, what would you do in my exact situation? Would you vote for Dr. Oz? Would you vote for a different candidate altogether? Like how would you handle the situation? Because I honestly kind of thought he had the seat down on lock, but polls are showing him doing really bad, like outside the margin of error, so he might just lose.
I actually don't know where Dr. Oz is running.
Pennsylvania,
yeah. Right, okay.
I covered it back, yeah. And look, I'm in the same position with the Liz Truss thing, because I'm technically a party member, and I think I've received my ballot. I'll check on the weekend when I go home. You kind of have to make incremental change, even though I am an idealist and deontologist, politics is not that way at the moment.
No.
So you do have to do a bit of real politique, and it's not because Trump has endorsed Oz, but it's because if he's the most, which of the Republican candidates is most likely to win, go for it, but then also try and have the whip hand in moving them in the party line.
Because
some of the Republicans fell, even Lindsey Graham, performative as he is, high-fiving Kamala Harris, you know, towards the end of the term, even he came out and staunchly defended Brett Kavanaugh, etc. And he was actually one of the most useful faces within the institution for Trump's appointment. Yeah. And that got Roe v. Wade overturned, even though he's a snake. So even if they are rhinos, even if they are deceptive, they're for their own political enrichment, Trump rides in 2024 on a white horse, then he might be able to change the landscape a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problem with politics is often voting for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you don't have much choice.
No.
Hey, Preston Poulter with Pocket Economics. I really wanted to say how much I've been enjoying your premium content. In particular, I really enjoyed John, and I loved the discussion of Miyazaki's work. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks very much for that. I don't know. We don't have it in the calendar yet, but we may be doing the other half of the studio's films, because there are three directors.
Right.
There's Miyazaki's son, who everyone hates, and then there's his partner, whose name I can't pronounce, but I need to sit down and watch all those. But I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. It was really nice.
Great. I've never even heard of Studio Ghibli, so I don't know anything about it.
I'm not a weeb, but I would actually recommend showing your kids some of the films.
Right, okay.
Genuinely good.
Okay. The next one.
Thank you for the wholesome Miyazaki video. Of course, you were completely right. Everybody ought to watch Miyazaki. Were you aware that Miyazaki himself was actually deeply inspired from Swedish author Astrid Lindgren that authored Pippi Longstocking. And you can really tell that in Miyazaki's slice-to-life approach to storytelling and the way he's portraying girls is obviously taken from Astrid Lindgren. He actually really wanted to make a Pippi Longstocking movie, but Lindgren didn't want to give him the rights, so that project eventually became Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah, I did know that about Kiki's Delivery Service. She ends up flying over in Stockholm. It's about some like magical girl who has depression, but sort of goes around Europe. It's quaint.
I don't know anything about any of this.
I would actually.
You'd have to inform me.
I would recommend either watching Howl's Moving Castle. That's my favorite, or Princess Mononoke, which is really violent, and it's basically a refutation of like the Rousseauian savage in a state of nature cities, because there's this all female commune, and they accidentally end up killing a forest god, and it destroys the entire world. So it's fantastic.
Okay, let's get the next one.
I just had a quick question to Carl regarding his experience of lawyers and kind of legal processes, since he had that big fracas of Aquila way back when. Good job on that, by the way. Occasionally spoke with my father regarding organized lawfare against average Joes and the dangers to free speech that entails, and he insists that there's hordes of lawyers that will work for free to get street cred. I don't really believe this, and I only think he actually thinks this because he works in a far-left institution that where he gets these services for free. And I was wondering if Carl had the same experience.
No, I had to pay for my legal defense. Why is my lawyer's name escaping me at the moment? Oh, I'm really, really sorry. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, because I didn't expect to have to answer a question.
Yeah, spontaneous recall is a pain in the backside sometimes.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Mate, I'm really sorry. But he was really great and, you know, affordable, thank God. So, I didn't have free lawyers or anything. But, I mean, it's obviously evil. Like, it's done specifically to cripple people. It's not good.
No. Am I doing my comments?
No, I'll do them.
Okay, no worries.
Right, James says, my opinion of Donald Trump is much like that of Francis Foster. I find him divisive. I do, however, acknowledge that it has taken someone strong-willed to stand up to see what's happening. What I want to ask is, if this was a Democrat former president, would you be asking the question in a different order? What's he trying to hide versus what's the FBI trying to hide? Is this a fair point? Well, I mean, if the FBI had... but this is the thing, right? If all of this was being done by the Republicans against the Democrats, I would be a lot less eager to support the Republicans. If the FBI was openly partisan in favor of the Republicans, we're like, no, you should be persecuting like Lindsey Graham or whoever it is, as well as Joe Biden. You know, is like, or you shouldn't be doing anything to anyone. But no, it's because it seems to be the Democrats who just don't care about the way things should be done.
Yeah, you were as well, because of the Bush era, when they did use the intelligence agencies to spy on the American people, the Patriot Act. One of my main forays into politics, the reason I sort of found out I really liked investigating, for example, was in second year, I had a module on contemporary fiction. And one of the first things was Giorgio Agamben's State of Exception, where he compares Italian fascism and, Harry will love this, Lincoln's pre-Civil War suspension of the habeas corpus laws to the Bush administration's Patriot Act. And when I was rifling through it, I went through all the documents and I found, Obama did the same thing. And this is what happened with WikiLeaks. So that, and I've got on a political trail. And so to then turn around and say, I object to this overreach of power by the FBI, it's not a party political thing.
It's not even a first time this has happened.
No, this is about principle. This is about crushing not only political opposition, but the precedent it sets for invading the private lives of innocent Americans. It's not that, what do you have to fear if you have nothing to hide? No. It's that, I have my privacy and you can get lost if you want to invade it.
I mean, I remember hating the Patriot Act when it first came out. Like, I remember being like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be doing this. You know, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be doing this.
All the stories of the Xbox Kinects filming people in their homes. And one last thing on this is that to think Trump is divisive, I think is the wrong way to put it. I think that America is already dying. Trump is just the coroner. So he's come along to preside over a declining civilization and try and turn it around. You might find him brash and abrasive. I found it quite funny. Didn't agree with everything he did.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
But it's not. He's not the progenitor of divisiveness, especially when one party wants to lop the breasts off teenage girls.
S.H. Silver says, unless they can conjure up some seriously damning evidence to disqualify Trump, they've only assured his revenge against the deep state. This blatant government overreach will be a rallying cry for his base and even the independents who distrust the bureaucratic state.
Like Tim Pool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and... if it wasn't such an obvious political show that the Democrats were engaging in, you know, they don't have any Republican support on this. They just don't. And it's
other than Liz Cheney.
As I said, they don't have any Republican support on this. Liz Cheney be damned. And the fact that it's only Liz Cheney, like it doesn't have any legitimacy because of the clear colour. You know, if there was a bit of a muddy colour between it, then okay, fair enough. But because it doesn't, it's... No. Baron von Warhawk says, at this point, they're not even trying to hide their biases anymore. The FBI know they are nothing but foot soldiers for the New World Order, and they love their jobs. Yep. Mullen. Wesley Mullen. Sorry, thank you for that. The problem of recall as you get older. Omar says, I'm starting to believe that all Trump would need to do is continue to exist, and through sheer power of meme magic, God Emperor Trump will become reality. He's not even in the seat of power, and yet they can't help but treat him like the sole avatar of their opposition. They'll turn him into a legend, then myth, then finally an eternal enemy they can never vanquish because he already died millennia ago. John, when's that video I did coming out? I recorded a video about this. Yeah, yeah. Right, so I've got a video coming out today, in fact. It'd just be, you know, a short video. But one of the things I point out in it is that it is exactly that. It's that the American people, the patriots, chose Trump as their champion. That's what this is. And so why they're trying to destroy Trump is because they want to destroy your champion to break your spirit. This is what this is about. And that's why it has to be Trump and he has to win. Screw these people.
Yeah, he's the kind of man that he's like singing the Gaston song with him.
Yeah.
He's the kind of man you would clash your pints together in the ale house at the end of the day. Yeah.
But the point is, you know, you chose him. That's why he's the guy that they hate. Bleach Demon says, this cascade of recent events is rather bothersome. Beginning with the FBI's militia violent extremist internal memo. That's a good point. We didn't really talk about that much. Mm. Primarily targeting the right. Yeah. I mean, Ted Cruz, there are a lot of criticisms of Ted Cruz, but that was, you know, he was on point where he was like, look, you know, the Betsy Ross flag, the one that Biden was inaugurated in front of, that makes you an extremist, does it? Come on. You know, the Trump raid, the curious attack, and the verbiage about the extreme right reeks of a setup. I'm deeply concerned about the future of the US. Yeah, honestly, I am as well. And I don't really trust the FBI. So when Merrick Garland comes out and is like, oh, trust me, bro. Can't tell you anything, but trust me, it'll be fine. It's like, yeah, no. That means that you're lying, and I think you're a liar, you liar. Harry the Martial Arts Nerd says, I thought that if you're not with us, you're against us was bad. But wait, that only counts when the right did it decades ago. Am I right, guys? No, F off Fed. Kevin says, the FBI needs to step away from their movie passes. They're beginning to believe the hype Hollywood has put out in movie after movie for decades about the FBI agents being the only ones who know what's right.
That message was controlled by the intelligence agencies, by the way, because they directly correspond often with... creative outlets.
Absolutely. The Hollywood work directly with, various alphabet agencies.
Yeah.
Callum says, as wokeism comes from America and it's taking over more and more here in the UK, and this is what the FBI is doing at the moment, I'm a little worried, to say the least, what kind of cancer could be developing in MI6. Well, they're all totally woke. They're all totally woke.
We already know because they've got exclusionary hiring policies. The civil service fast stream, I investigated it when I was, you know, leaving university. It only runs once a year or there, and it has diversity policies in it.
Yeah.
And this is what we covered yesterday with the Treasury. 50.2% of all Treasury officials are women. It's 54% at the executive level. We then joked, of course, that explains the state of public finances. But the point being is you're
proven wrong.
You're self-selecting via identity categories for an ideological hegemony. Same thing with the vax mandates.
Yeah. Exactly. The people they're going to hire, even if it's a woman who goes and goes, yeah, I don't believe all this woke stuff, well, they're just not going to hire you.
No.
And actually, judging on ideological grounds is the one thing they can actually do legally.
Yeah.
You can actually say, I don't want to hire that guy because he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
You can actually do that. You can't say, I don't want to hire that person because she's a woman or the black or whatever, but, you know, whatever. Tomo says, just because Biden was told about it does not mean that Biden knows anything about it.
True.
Good point. Didn't pick up on that. But even, this is another point, even if Biden didn't know about it, okay, well, the FBI is a Democrat machine. It's a weapon that the Democrats have used, and they've used it for a long time. They spied on Trump with him. They're doing this now. And all you're saying there is, oh, well, Biden didn't know anything about it. Okay, well, then it's wide awake and it's got a will of its own then.
That's the hilarious thing about watching Daredevil Season 3, for example. Slight pivot. But the entire season was construed as a parody of the 2016 election. Oh. And the kingpin was meant to be Trump. He resided at the presidential hotel.
Base kingpin.
Matt Murdock was holed up in the Clinton church, and the FBI were coordinating with Wilson Fisk to bump off his political opposition and stage false flags so he could run for mayor of New York. But then it turns out that Hillary Clinton did exactly that. They've just got the names wrong.
Well, this is the thing in The Boys, isn't it?
Yeah.
I actually quite enjoyed The Boys.
Even season one was great.
And season three was pretty good as well.
I haven't seen it.
Season two is trash, right?
Yeah, season two.
But the whole thing of trying to, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want Homelander to essentially be Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's well loved by the media and the institutions, and he's protected by them all. So in fact, he's Biden.
Yeah. Right?
And so like they try to set it up so the Homelander supporter is like, oh, you've got to go and read, watch all these YouTube videos about how my guy's great. And the guy's like, no, you've got to stop watching these conspiracy videos. But it's the mainstream media is also giving you 100% pro Homelander. And so it's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You know, but they can't write their way out of it.
It's also, they clearly created this congresswoman to be AOC.
Oh,
and it turns out she's a mass murderer.
Yeah. She blows people's faces off.
Yeah.
She's pretty bad. Anyway, Colin says, anything and everything stop him running again. They are truly running scared. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they know that in a world where they do not have fortification powers, they would get crushed.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushed. I do think that they cheated in 2016. And I think that Trump would have won handily with another 15 million extra votes in 2016.
2020,
sorry, yeah. But now, like, up until that point, they hadn't had the opportunity to ruin the economy.
No.
Like, now, they know they're screwed. They know it. Risto says, them redefining words is proof positive that they know what they did was wrong. Yeah, they know. And this is the thing. Do not ascribe any kind of good faith to these people. They are acting with malice. And you know that's true. Colin says, turn off security cameras, send one side home. Oh, look, sudden discovery of documents. Haven't we seen that somewhere before? Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, bad faith on all parts.
Yeah, ironic that the charge is linked to Epstein.
Yep. Andrew says, silly lotus eaters, don't you know that Trump is guilty forever? Guilty of what, you ask? Don't worry, they'll figure that out later. That's true. Jokes aside, they will figure that out later. Jokes aside, the Republicans need to impeach. They should come to power in the midterms. This obvious political bias needs to be purged from the judicial system. Yeah, good luck. Radcheck was right, says, yes, Nazis exist. Online, I might add. So we must arrest Trump because the Nazis call the witch hunt a witch hunt. Bald Eagle says, calling it now, Twitter is going to declare every midterm election in states where voting laws were enacted as illegitimate. The US is done. The fascist boogaloo investigators, meaning the FBI, have shown that the three-letter agencies are beyond saving and deserve to be torn down.
I actually need to investigate a little bit more. They passed the Voting Rights Act a little while ago. This is when Nancy Pelosi was out in front of the Capitol building and said, thank you, George Floyd, for your sacrifice of democracy.
Yeah.
So I need to look at the exact details of that because I wonder how that will influence the midterms.
Mm. X, Y, and Z says, God, if anything, Musk had better get every sodding document released during discovery of this bloody trial. I want nothing better than for the cover of this rotting, festering pit to be ripped off. Bring it down and the board being taken to court for knowingly committing fraud. Yeah, I mean, the best thing that could happen would be Elon Musk destroying Twitter through discovery. The second best is him taking it over so Republicans can actually operate on it would be nice.
Mm.
But destroying it would be the best thing you could do for society. Kevin says, rumor has it that Twitter, the open free speech platform, has changed its logo from a bird to a donkey. That doesn't really signify anything political honest. Colin says, the best thing Twitter could do for the midterms is shut itself down until after the vote. It's all true. Michael says, Google, Facebook, and Twitter know who all the nonces are with the data they collect. Why aren't there more arrests for CPN noncery? That's a great point.
So Tim Pool actually tried to get a Times Square billboard up saying Twitter protects pedophiles.
Oh, yeah.
But they said, oh, you can't potentially slander them. And then he ended up going, okay, here's the long list of tweets of articles about tweets of CP where the people in the thing years later have said, this has been posted when I was a child
and they haven't taken it down. Yeah, no, that's totally true. Rick says, the civic integrity policy is double plus good, says the Ministry of Truth, the authors of the civic integrity policy. It's so, well, I hate to give 1984 references because it's so cliche. But it's actually what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually what they're doing. Grant says, what's unreal about Berenson is that he crowdfunded a lawsuit on the basis that he would proceed to discovery and put the information out for the public good. Then he settled his lawsuit. I don't trust him.
That's so I didn't know he crowdfunded the lawsuit. I don't know the full details of the suit, but as far as I know from discussions I've heard about it, particularly I think Timple was chatted to him, he did say that he settled it just to get back on Twitter. So I think, I'm not going to ascribe malfeasance to someone I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just, this was short-sighted to get yourself back on the platform rather than uncover the reason you were kicked off in the first place so everyone can know. I think that was a missed opportunity.
M1 Ping says, quote, our pre-bunkers have determined that the Democrats have won 142% of the vote in every congressional election this midterm. Twitter probably. Mm. Yeah, it's amazing how it's literally reaching North Korea levels of transparency in election coverage on Twitter.
Yeah, I guarantee the turnout for cemeteries is going to be 100%.
Thomas says about the Albanian TikTokers, as said before, we'll say it again, the British economic keystone that covers all government policy should be to make all subsidy, welfare, macro and microeconomic policy focus on raising a family of two adults and 2.4 kids on a single income. Yep. Lord Nerevar says, really want to reiterate that what Ignacio said regarding immigrants. I haven't got to yet. They only come to places like the UK because we specifically incentivize them to do so. If we simply stop treating them like royalty, they'd stop coming. Simple solution in my mind. Yeah, there was a video that went around of some migrants who were like, well, I thought that I was going to have access to a hotel or something. If I'd known it would be like this, I wouldn't have come. It's like, there we go.
Yeah, well, I remember doing the France 24 debate that Callum covered quite a while ago against this guy who called the entire UK racist because he couldn't come in as a photographer, an Afghan photographer, to photograph little Amal walking through the streets, you know, the puppeteered Syrian refugee. And it's like, well, no, anyone can have a camera, you clown.
Yeah.
It's not because you're brown, it's because you're rubbish.
Yeah. Colin says, 71% of people want a reduction in immigration, said no YouGov poll ever. Well, it was 60 at least. Baron von Warhawk says, no surprise that France is sending hordes and hordes of illegal aliens to ruin your nation. They never forgave you for Cressy and Waterloo.
True.
I mean, that's obviously true. Anon says, around Greater Manchester and London, Albanian gangs have been growing and they openly commit hit and runs. The gang violence problem is getting much worse. Yep. Yeah, there was a thing the other day, wasn't there, where some guy got his hand cut off over £10 worth of weed.
Dear God. I know Albanian organised crime is reportedly, don't kill me, mafia, quite bad in a neighbouring area to me in southeast London. Okay. They apparently own a lot of front businesses.
Ignacio got to his comment finally. Poor downtrodden immigrants, they are clearly fleeing poverty, paying $4,000 to enter. Yeah, I know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I've saved up $5,000 or whatever. It's like, replace your entire sea border force with several small gunboats and one gun. Maybe give them a scare. See how fast they stop. Honestly, why do we even have a navy?
I can't remember who made the joke, so I don't know who to credit. But I remember someone said on the North Sea oil problem, they should go exploring in the Thames for different oil wells. So I'm sure there's something out there. Though they may have to dig through several layers of bedrock and several layers of calcified passports to get to it.
Jussie says, as someone not from the UK, I'd like to see England someday. Will there be any to see, or only the remnants of a culture hidden beneath a mishmash of all other cultures? Would you please save one culture your own? Honestly, go to London. I get this from Americans all the time. I came over to England and I went to see London and it didn't see any English in there.
Some areas of London are still enjoyable, but I would never live there because it feels like the whole world's on your doorstep. But if you go to Whitechapel, it's like little Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Not good.
Colin says, all these refugees from France and the EU in general just go to show that we were right to go for Brexit.
True.
Yeah, God. Like every day, Brexit is more vindicated than the day before. Rick says, repeal any and all laws enacted by the Blair government in toto. Yeah.
Agreed. We'll be here a long time.
Yeah. I mean, if I were Boris, I would have done that. Just on day one, for the next month, just repeal everything that Blair did.
But his wife was a Blairite.
Yes. Alpha of the Betas says, Trump is a deeply flawed human being, as are we all. But his faults are demonstrable and public. He's loud, crude, egotistical, uncouth for the office of president, and I believe an honourable man who honestly believes in the myth of America. He is the closest to the personification of Uncle Sam you're going to get, and the last best chance for slowing the late-stage collapse of Western civilization.
Yeah.
Now, what I find absolutely remarkable about Trump, and I really mean this, is after 5 years of non-stop muckraking investigations, like the most intensive political work that was done against him, and they found literally nothing.
The worst thing about him was I slept with a porn star once.
Yeah. Like, I mean...
And even then, his time in office made him a better family man.
But it's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, of all of the people, if you go back like 10 years ago, But like, yeah, so if we exposed everything about Donald Trump's life, how much dirty stuff are you thinking about? Well, obviously, a fair amount. He's a young playboy, billionaire playboy. And yeah, of course, there's going to be some stuff in there. But the fact that they have dredged up nothing on Donald Trump is just the most remarkable thing, I think. That's the most remarkable thing.
Well, I remember the photo of him and Kyle Rittenhouse together, and I said the two most innocent men. Two most acquitted men in US history.
The two goodest boys in American history, because they literally did nothing wrong. I just never thought. I expected to have to be like, Trump did this, Trump did that. Of course he did these things. You know, he's a young man in New York, lots of money, blah, blah, blah. But just nothing came to light. It was like...
Yeah, well, I remember being young and I was in sick form when the 2016 election happened. So, God, I feel ancient now. And we actually took the entire day off classes because our teachers came and said, okay, we could do the curriculum or we could talk about the election of Trump. And everyone else was crying around me. And I didn't actually really say anything because I didn't know anything. Yeah. But I was sort of at this gut level thing of, oh, we must be a bit of a knob.
Yeah.
You know? And then years later, I think it was 2017 when I went to uni and Piers Morgan did the first sit-down interview with him.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
hate Piers Morgan.
Who doesn't?
Trump came off looking like a generally personable guy, and he was just rattling off successes, and I went, oh, really? Has he done that? When I investigated it, I was like,
it turned out he had.
He actually seems like a decent bloke.
And if there was muck, they would have found it. There's so much money, so much investigation has gone into this, they would have just handed, and it would be all over the news all the time. Unlike with the Bidens, of course, with Hunter Biden, blah, blah, blah,
where they film themselves doing it.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
He had a public Pornhub account
that he DM'd to his dad.
He's basically American Dragon Lord.
But it just to put a cap on it, of all of the people I didn't think was going to actually be quite clean.
Pristine.
It would be Donald Trump. Amazing. But anyway, we're out of time there, folks. So thank you, everyone, of course, for watching. As usual, if you want to support us, go to lucyscott.com, sign up. That's how we keep the lights on and make sure that we can keep hiring amazing presenters. And have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.